Good morning. As Andrew said at the beginning, we are looking over the course of this term at a wonderful chapter of the Bible, the heroes of faith from Hebrews chapter 11, which means that our readings can easily become very, very short, which is why it became part of Andrew's all-age talk. But in case you can't quite remember what it is, we will keep coming back to it as we go through this morning, looking at just those first two verses of Hebrews chapter 11. Because what is common about all of the people that get mentioned through this chapter, it's sometimes called the Hall of Fame of the Bible, is that every one of them not only had faith, but they acted on it. And faith always has to be acted upon. If you believe something right to the heart of your being, it will affect everything else that you do, everything else that you are. So as we start off, the question that we need to look at really is, what is faith? And using a different translation from the one that Andrew used earlier on, and a different translation from the NIV that we'll look at a little bit later on, the writer to the Hebrews gives an answer. So what is faith? It is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It's the evidence of things we cannot yet see. God gave his approval to people in days of old because of their faith. You see, if we took that definition and we went out to all those people that we've just prayed a blessing over and we said, this is what faith is about, I think the answer that we would get from people is no, that is not what faith is. Because for most of the people around and about, the people who are not planning on coming into a church on a Sunday morning, faith is something different. For most of the people that you will meet at work or in your neighbourhood or when you're shopping or wherever you go that's outside of church, for most of them, faith is just something that's in your mind. It's an intellectual assent to something, a belief in a philosophy or religion, or even just an ideal that you happen to hold dear. It's all in the mind, and that is the end of it. Some people might go, well, no, it's more than that. The other thing about faith is it's blind. It's believing despite all the evidence that's against you, or at least despite a lack of evidence supporting the position that you take. Some of you may well have read the book Alice Through the Looking Glass. And within that book, you get a conversation between the Queen and Alice. And the Queen starts off by saying that her age is just 101, 5 months and a day. And Alice replies, I can't believe that. Can't you? Said the Queen in a pitying tone. Try again. Draw a long breath and shut your eyes. Alice laughed. There's no use trying, she said. One can't believe impossible things. The Queen says, I dare say you haven't had much practice. When I was your age, I always did it for half an hour a day. Why, sometimes I've believed as many as 6 impossible things before breakfast. And I think the way our culture and our society is, questions about faith, about belief that you put your trust in, that you live out, gets dismissed. They're all the same. And the only reason you can say that all faiths are the same is if you don't believe any of them. They're all the same and they're all rubbish. It's just blind faith. Pie in the sky when you die. Or maybe if we talk about faith in the world out there, it's kind of accepting the existence of something. So there have been questions recently asked, about a month ago, a few people going, so do you believe in Father Christmas? I'm not going to ask you to give your answer to that. But a belief in Father Christmas is simply a belief that he exists. Do you believe in fairies? Do you believe in ghosts? Do you believe in God? It just all gets lumped in together as these fantastic, unbelievable things that, and we might need to delete this bit from the recording, that don't really exist. And we lump God into that as well. Or at least society around us does. Or maybe you go, well, I do believe in God. But what God is it that you believe in? Just believing that a God exists is still not enough. That's not the faith that Hebrews is talking about here. When James, who we're going to be looking at in our evening services over the next term, he writes about this and says, you believe that there is one God? Good! Even the demons believe that and shudder. The faith that Hebrews is talking about here, it's not just that I accept it exists, or he exists, or she exists, or whatever label you attach to God. So faith is something more than that. What is it? Well, I went to the dictionary and looked it up on my phone. This was the definitions that came out, and I know they're very, very small. One of them will get a little bit larger, assuming the animation works okay. The first one, complete trust or confidence in someone or something. The second one, a strong belief in the doctrines of a religion, based on spiritual conviction rather than proof. And then the bottom ones are a particular religion or a strongly held belief. The second one about not having any proof, that's kind of the blind faith that we've already looked at. But the first one maybe gets a little bit closer to what is really being talked about in the Bible. It starts off by being a complete trust, confidence in someone or something. That's not just an intellectual assent. That's not just a wouldn't it be nice if. When Hebrews talks about assurance of what we hope for, hope is not just a vague aspiration. Oh, it would be lovely if there could just be peace on earth. Well, of course it would be lovely if there was that. It's not that kind of vague thing that's out there that we never really think is probably going to come, at least not this side of Jesus coming back. Now, it's not going to shock you here in a church that the faith, the trust, the confidence that we should have, I will be suggesting, is in God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What might be more surprising is that the word that's used here in the Greek, the original of Hebrews, actually is not a belief in someone despite a lack of evidence, but actually it's about putting your trust in someone because of what you've already experienced of them. We don't trust in God because someone tells us to. The pastor up at the front said, you should jolly well trust in God, and so you do. No, we trust in God because God has already shown himself to us. When Andrew asked his question earlier on, has anybody seen God? Well, actually, an awful lot of people walking around first century Palestine could say yes. They just didn't realize it at the time. Because they saw Jesus, God the Son, walking among them. God with us, Emmanuel, the one we've been celebrating through Christmas. Through Jesus in particular, but also through prophecy, also through miracles, also in so many other ways that God has shown himself to us, we can place our trust, our confidence in him. Not just a blind faith. Let me try and explain it a little bit more fully. There was a Scottish missionary called John Patton. I think it was in the 18th century, but my dates are a little bit hazy on this. And he was out as a missionary in a few islands in the South Pacific. And while he was there, the people on those islands, they had a slightly different diet to what most, what I probably hope all of us here have. They were cannibals. And I hope any cannibals in today? I know you're going to be embarrassed. You know, I can't put my hand up. I would hope not. And bizarrely, in this cannibal nation, when John Patton's there trying to translate the Bible, particularly John's Gospel, into their language, this nation that would quite happily eat you didn't have a word for trust, faith, belief. It just wasn't there. It wasn't part of their culture. If you haven't got the language for it, it's really hard to have that sense in yourself. And so on one occasion, while he's there trying to write John's Gospel for them, he had a servant, and the servant came in, and he was sat on this chair. Not actually that chair, that's a cartoon one. But he was sat on a chair, and while he was there, he lifted his feet up, and he leant back on the chair, and he said to the servant, "What am I doing to this chair?" The servant looked a little bit puzzled because this is slightly unusual behaviour. But then he said a word. I do not know what that word was. But the meaning of that word was, you are leaning your whole weight upon it. Those of you that have been through the Alpha course will be familiar probably with that story. Leaning your whole weight upon it. So when John Patton translated John's Gospel, whenever it came to faith, belief, trust, which in Greek are all the same words, that was the word he used. Because if we put our faith in God, we lean our whole way, our whole being, everything about us on God. And that is the tone that's actually already been struck through Hebrews. In chapter 4 and verse 2, the writer talks about this faith, this gospel that had been preached. But he says that people had heard the gospel, but it only becomes a powerful thing, it only becomes a saving thing when you act on it by faith, when you put your trust in it. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, he speaks about the foundation of the Christian life. He talks about these elementary teachings, the things that everybody gets. You know, like the resurrection of the dead, that's one of them. But he also says within there about putting your faith in God. Chapter 6, verse 12, imitate those who inherit because of their faith and perseverance. And of course, within faith, the other English word that comes out of the same Greek one is faithfulness, sticking to it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 talks about how we have confidence to come before God because of our faith. And then in the verses immediately before the two verses we're looking at this morning, it speaks again of faith. It starts by quoting the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk and then explains what he says. It says, a righteous person will live by faith. But I will have no pleasure in anyone who turns away. That's the quote from Habakkuk. And then the writer to the Hebrews adds to that, but we're not like those who turn their backs on God and seal their fate. We have faith that assures our salvation. So in Habakkuk, in the Old Testament, the whole of life is to be lived by faith. Every moment, every part of our being is devoted to God, trusting in God, living for him. And then it's explained to discourage a group of people who were thinking of giving up, to say that actually we have a faith that assures us of salvation. Our faith is a vital part of who we are. It's our identity, our way of living, our attitudes, everything else that makes us who we are. We are those who trust in God and remain faithful to him. And so he continues with these well-known verses from the start of chapter 11. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. We have that confident trust in God, in his promises, in what he's done, in what he will do, because of who we've already found him to be. This is the God who gives himself by coming in Jesus. This is the God who demonstrates love at every turn. This is the God who does miracles. This is the God who died for you and who was raised again to life. And so we have that confident trust in God. And by faith, this word cloud pulling out all sorts of words from chapter 11. But we see, if you read through that chapter this afternoon or in the coming week, by faith, Abel offered. By faith, Enoch was taken. By faith, Noah built. By faith, Abraham obeyed and went. By faith, Abraham fathered. By faith, Abraham offered. By faith, Isaac and Jacob blessed. By faith, Joseph spoke. By faith, Moses' parents hid him in a basket. By faith, Moses chose and persevered. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea. By faith, Jericho fell. By faith, Rahab welcomed the spies in. And so many more. Every single one of them, the faith that they had leads to an action. Not like the modern church today, where our faith so often leads to inaction. If we believe, this must mould us and shape us so that there is no hesitation, no reservation. Have dedication forms part of our conduct. The Canadian evangelist Leighton Ford put it this way: belief is not faith without evidence, but commitment without reservation. So over this coming term, we are going to be inspired by men and women of faith to have a faith lift ourselves. Not just to see change, but to be part of the change. And we can do that if we commit ourselves to Him without reservation. May we pray. Father God, we thank you that you have given a call to each of us to come into faith. Not just to give you our nod of approval, but to dedicate our lives in every moment of every day to your glory, to your grace, to seeing your kingdom come and your will being done on earth just as it is in heaven, to be part of this body of Christ around the world and through history, living out our faith, living by faith in all that we do, all that we are. Father God, fill us with your Spirit, because we can't do this without you. Inspire us afresh over these coming weeks. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you.